So we were, I'd say, about 25, maybe 30 minutes into a conversation a few days ago, and because of severe weather, we got cut off, and instead of restarting where we would have been repeating ourselves, everything we had just been saying the last 30 minutes and doing that all over again, we decided, hey, let's take a few days off and we'll get back together and redo, remoan, if you will. So this is, you know, basically we should have been doing this movie. This is the one you should have been hearing on Sunday, but you didn't. So this is the fill-in movie moan. If you're, we're, you know, I can't think of a better title. Any ideas, sir?
Well, you could just why don't you just introduce us both and we'll just take it from there?
Oh, they just know who we are at this point. That's just, you know, fuck it. Who cares? You know, I'm Jamie.
Okay, fair enough. I'm Phil. Sorry, I like the introduction, that's all.
Oh, you do?
It makes me feel important.
Okay, especially. Well, hi, then. This is Movie Moan. You know, as always, here is Think Me Fly Think co-owner-operator Jamie Williams. And with me, as always, is the British gentleman agent, Mr. Phil G. Phil.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be back. Hope you haven't missed us too much. We're going to get right into it.
Yeah, because we know what you're asking about, you folks listening to us. And the ones that do, God bless. For the folks who don't listen to us, fuck off. But seriously, folks, we're both getting off work, so we're a little tired, so we'll get our energy up in a few minutes. So we have seen a movie. We saw Wolverine, and we talked about, you know, how we were not going to go see it. And, of course, knowing the hypocritical asswipes that we are, we did pay money to see it. And one of us really, really, really hated it, and the other was Jamie. So to be fair, I mean, like, you know, my feeling on Wolverine or X-Men Origins Wolverine, if we're going to go with that terrible title, which I still can't believe they went through with that title. It's so terrible. You know, it was meh. It was very mediocre. I mean, this franchise has proven that, you know, it's strengthened mediocrity with the last two films now. I mean, they're not outright terrible films, but they're just like, meh, whatever. I mean, I will say I think X-Men The Last Stand is a much better film than this because there are actually really good ideas behind it, and you could have theoretically made made a good movie with the same people behind the camera if you'd had more time to really work on it instead of the rush job that it was in order to make the Memorial Day 2006 release date. This, on the other hand, I don't know. I mean, they had plenty of time to tinker with this movie, and it still is just like, meh, whatever. It's just – it's a story that didn't need to be told, that I didn't care to hear. Interrupt me where I'm – you know, any time, sir, with your thoughts and witty retorts.
Well, my feelings for the first half of the picture were just the same as you, pretty much. I was sitting there thinking – you might remember, folks, in our prediction special, I said that I thought that Wolverine would end up being, meh, lame, but not a car wreck, in the same way that films, Marvel movies like Ghost Rider and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer have been, and movies where I literally was angry as I walked out of the theater. I didn't think I was going to have that
reaction.
He hulked
out. He actually hulked out, if you didn't see. I was there. No, I didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't quite my reaction to that In Memoriam Oscar montage. Not quite that level of anger. I've never been so angry as that, but we're talking close. I mean, we're talking about movies that are so lazy and incompetent, you just feel like you have had your money stolen.
And this was a lazy movie, even though the fact that I'm being fair with the movie. It is lazy. There's just no two ways around that one.
Well, for the first half, it was lazy, uninspired, unoriginal, dull, and incompetent. Pretty much what I expected. And I figured I'd go out saying...
Go out saying?
I was going to come out saying that, you know, once again, I've given Fox my money, I'm a sucker. Well, at that point, and this is the point where Wolverine's just gotten his adamantium, I figured the movie actually heard me and said, that sounds like a bet, motherfucker. I bet I can make this movie even more dull, uninspired, unoriginal, and shit than you think is possible. And so from that point on, he escapes from the Weapon X lab at Alkali Lake. And who does he bump into?
He runs into Ma and Pa Kent, and they bestow upon him values for 3 minutes. And they go out of their way to explain. The mortal sin of this movie is that you don't need to explain stupid shit like, hey guys, remember that jacket that he wore at the beginning of X-Men? Well, here's where he got it. Here's how he got it. Here's why he got it. And then at the end of the movie, for him not to even wear the goddamn jacket at the end of the film. That retarded attention to detail, just for that, this movie deserves the criticism. Because had they not had that sequence, I wouldn't have asked the question, hey, how come he doesn't wear the jacket? It's set, 25 years before. I mean, by the time the movie ends to the time X-Men starts, it's about, 25 years, 30 years, something like that. So you could figure, this dude's seen a lot of shit in 25, 30 years that he probably found a fucking jacket somewhere. I'm not going to ask that stupid question. But if you're actually going to do something that fucking retarded, you deserve the criticism, in my opinion.
You know, I think most fans of Wolverine would prefer to hear that he'd taken that jacket from the corpse of one of his enemies who deserved it.
He's a good guy. He's just a good guy underneath. You know, just no problem with Wolverine. He would never do anything like that. That's bad. He's just a good guy. Really?
Despite the fact that we were told, teased at the end of X-Men 2 by Stryker, that actually Wolverine might not be the saint we think he is, that actually he has a really bad past. Turns out all his past is he killed a lot of people in the service of his country.
But he still felt bad about it. But he still didn't want to do it.
Yes.
That's the worst thing about this character. I have never been one to say that this I don't like the idea of giving away the entire that character's entire backstory, because there was a sense of ambiguity that really fit him well. Thank you. And the most minor of details, which is he's amnesiac, he's probably immortal because of the healing factor, he looks like he's about 35, 40, he's probably closer to 100. I like that. The fact, that worked for the character. We didn't need to know why he specifically signed up for the Weapon X program. They said enough that they needed to say at the end of X2 with that confrontation between him and Stryker, when he's tying up Stryker to the jet. That was enough. The fact that the character at the end of X-Men 2 basically decides, you know what, I don't need to know who I was, because whoever that was, I'm not him anymore. I'm better off for not knowing. I am better off not knowing who that guy was. That's not me. So I'm going to walk away. That was right. And yet you see this movie and you go, so he wasn't a bad guy. Wouldn't it have been more courageous if he was a bastard in this movie? Give him more of an edge. Still make him the lead, the protagonist. Give him an antagonist and shit. But make him do shit he doesn't do in the X-Men movies. Make him fight dirt. Kill someone. Just something really badass. Justify those remarks, and they don't even do that.
Fair, he does kill his drunk asshole dad.
He does.
He's a little kid.
He does, actually. Out of rage, and he doesn't realize it, though, you know. There's a lot
of... when I knew the movie was in trouble. That first scene is handled so badly. You know, we hear the doctor character says, he hears the father, and he says, he's talking to Logan and to Victor, the two brothers, and they're saying, your father's drunk again. But we don't actually see who he's saying that to. So later on, when the drunk father says, duh, 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 I'm your dad, Logan.
Son.
I'm saying to myself, well, I thought we already knew that, 5 minutes ago. Just so badly handled.
It is. It's horribly handled.
I know. It's funny, as you say that, you've reminded me of something. I've been one of the people among many people who's been... I'm absolutely game for a Wolverine solo movie, but it should be a sequel. It should take place after X-Men 3. He's out on his own. You can do whatever you want. You can reunite him with Sabretooth and have a proper, Wolverine-Sabretooth movie. That's absolutely fine. But at the same time, as you say, X-Men 2 kind of closed the story on Wolverine and him searching for his past. So maybe that's the reason they decided to do a prequel.
Well,
but
I don't know.
Somehow
I
doubt it.
Well, the problem is, that was my issue with X-Men 3, was the fact that Wolverine had no arc. I mean, they added on this half-assed, quote, love story, which...
Well, I don't think that movie could have... contained another story.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, let's be honest. You see the first two X-Men movies, him and Jean Grey had nothing more than a flirtation. mild flirtation, slight attraction. There was a kiss, but she rejected him. It was never to the point where she was just like, I'm going to fuck you instead of my husband, Scott. You know, so then you see Wolverine emoting for all of X-Men 3. Like, I love her. Oh, woe is me. You know, just like, no, that should be Scott bitching about that. But since James Marsden got ass raped for going to do Superman Returns in the, you know, downtime, his role got cut. I mean, we all know that's what happened. Let's be fair here. So, you know, I just thought that was the most dumbest thing in X-Men 3, them doing that. Like, dude, you did not love her. Like, come on. Like, that was not even a fucking romance, tragic affair. You kissed her once and you flirted with her a couple of times before that. The end. I know it's absolutely getting off topic badly, but still.
No, not at all. But, I mean, like I said, the biggest, as we've established, folks, I hated the movie. Absolutely
I did.
Hated it.
After my bitching, you would swear I did, but I really didn't. I mean, this could have been a lot worse.
Well, sure, it could have been worse, but I'm not sure how much. I mean, like I say, I mean, I was willing to say this was better than Ghost Rider or Fantastic Four Rise of Silver Surfer. But then all of a sudden, Wolverine's in the bathroom of these old parents' house, and he looks at his adamantium claws for the first time, and it's one of the worst special effects I have seen in the last couple of years of blockbusters. This movie cost like $140 million, I don't think.
Well,
and we're
talking
about
I actually
special
believe
it's been done quite successfully in three previous films.
I believe it cost that much because of how cheap it looked, to be honest. It looked cheap as hell.
It did look, yeah, it did.
It really did. I mean, it's like, you know, no wonder they wanted to do a prequel because, see, I figured it was just like a fuck you to Halle Berry because they didn't have to deal with her crazy ass anymore. Like, oh, Storm's important. I have such a big part in this movie. I have three extra lines. You know, that's her big spiel. But, you know, I'm sorry, that annoys me about Halle Berry, too. It's like, you know what, they gave you an arc in X-Men 2. It was really good, and you handled it well. Don't tell me you didn't have anything to do in the Bryan Singer's X-Men movies. That's horseshit. And in the first one, you didn't. Everyone acknowledges that. Don't fucking tell me that you had a bigger role in X-Men 3 than you did in X-Men 2. You didn't, except for more lines. That's kind of it. It was still like, hey, I'm Storm.
Well, let's not get into that.
I'm using my powers. Hey, I'm flying. Hey, Logan, look out. Oh, man, such a huge part in that one, let me tell you. This is so annoying. Sorry.
I'll just leave Jamie to that rant, and I'll get right back to the movie.
You know I'm right.
What was I saying? Oh, yes. You know, I know you're right, but this is Wolverine's movie. It's not the Storm movie. I don't think we'll ever get a Storm
movie. That's
the problem.
Every fucking X movie is at its core Wolverine's movie. Why did he need another goddamn movie to himself? Like, seriously.
Because he's Hugh Jackman, and the market research says Hugh Jackman's popular, and he's the most popular thing in this franchise. You yourself have said Hugh Jackman is a very popular man, and that he boosted the ratings of the Oscars,
he's
and that people will see this movie to see Jackman. Turns out you were right.
Yes, thank you. And I mean, you know, but still, it's just like, really? I mean, he's popular in the sense that Christopher Reeve was popular Superman. You immediately thought of him, and same thing with Connery's Bond. But really, once his reign is over, that's kind of it. Like, Jackman will clearly get more work and shit. But this, I mean, he hasn't really had a genuinely big hit in his name, where he's responsible for it being a hit that doesn't involve those fucking claws. Like, yeah, Prestige was a hit. But, you know, that was billed as an ensemble piece, really. You know, that was kind of it. I mean, that's why, you know, I'm sure Van Helsing was a kick in the balls to him because that was an underperformer. That actually made money. But still, you know, they were expecting that to be a huge, huge box.
Well, it made money, but it cost the Earth to make, so it didn't actually.
And it was terrible to boot. You know, that's even worse.
Oh, yes,
know.
Exactly. I just. Hugh Jackman doesn't seem to have, you know, much of an eye for scripts or quality control on these things. I just don't understand it. So, I mean, my main criticism of the movie is that it's just so unfocused. It just doesn't know what it wants to be. It tries a couple of times to attempt to be about something interesting and then just completely fails to develop any of those strands. At the start of the movie, it seems like it's going to be the story of these two brothers.
Which would have been a better film, probably. You know, as cliched as it was, this movie is full of bad cliches left and right, but at least that could have been something interesting. One of the few good things about the movie was the opening credit sequence, I thought. I was like, that's really handled well. That's kind of cool. You're just like, all right, it's going to be awesome. And it's like, nope, it's not.
Because it tells a story. It tells you pretty much everything you need to know about their relationship in the space of 3 minutes. You know, one's kind of controlled and the other one's a psychotic hothead, and obviously fate is going to drive them apart. Cliche, but yeah, we can handle it. If the movie just kept moving at that kind of pace and kept things moving interesting and, you know, like the pages of a comic book, unfortunately it becomes utterly, utterly turgid. It drops that storyline after the first 10 minutes. You forget that Wolverine and Sabretooth are brothers. It doesn't matter by the end. Sabretooth vanishes like a fart in the wind at the end because he has to make sure that, you know, he can disappear so he can turn up in X-Men 1.
Yeah. Logan
can't be with his love.
Yeah, couldn't you have just, wouldn't have been made more just as much sense to have his memory blank too? Like, oh, I've got a spare adamantium bolt. Let me just use
well,
that,
can you
too.
Explain to me how Stryker knows that his adamantium gun bullets will... Gun bullets, that's a good one. Well, his adamantium bullets will erase Wolverine's mind?
I have no
how
idea.
How does he know?
We're putting logic to a movie that clearly is retarded as shit and didn't think about this stuff beforehand. Because if we're going to... You know, it's a good argument to make, to bring up, sir. But if we're going to argue illogic in this movie, it's the fact that, like, he sees his girlfriend dead, like, with all this fake blood, supposed blood in front of her, and yet he doesn't realize that there's no marks on her body at all. It's like, oh my god, she's covered in red stuff, that must be blood. Oh, her pulse is, you know, she has no pulse, that means she's dead. How come there's no marks on her? How come her clothes aren't torn to shreds? What did you do with her body after she died? Did you just leave it there? Call the cops anonymously and then run off? I mean, you know, again...
Yeah, I mean, he's got feral senses, doesn't he? Wouldn't he be able to smell that she's a corpse?
Here's the thing, though. I think the filmmakers assume, like, well, you know, that we'll explain the pulse thing, and then that'll clear us with everything else. And it's like, no, it doesn't, because, again, how come you don't explain... I mean, he should know the difference between blood and just, like, red Kool-Aid substance. And again, I would not be one to bitch about this kind of stuff, but they went out of their way to fucking explain that crap. They could have just said, no, she wasn't really dead, it was all fake, and then leave it at that, and I probably wouldn't have questioned it. But literally to have a flashback in a flashback movie, you know, where he tears up a big bag of fake blood and then gives her a shot, you deserve the criticism.
I agree, and I don't mind the illogical stuff as well. It's a comic book movie. I know that's not much of an excuse, and we have filmmakers like Bryan Singer and Christopher Nolan who try and ground this in a reality and make sure everything makes some sort of sense. But, you know, I don't mind as long as it's fun and entertaining. This scene, I mean, this whole stretch in the last 10 minutes where Stryker suddenly realizes, it feels like Stryker is on his computer and he's reading the Wikipedia biography of Wolverine, and he's reading it, and he suddenly realizes, "Oh shit! I forgot to make him an amnesiac." Chris, where's my gun?
It's not. It's some ambiguous time where people still dress like they do now. I don't even know what movie it's supposed to be. Year it's supposed to be set in. I mean, that was definitely one of the strengths of the previous three films, that they said the not too distant future, and they left it at that. That's all they had to say. The end. You know, we're not going to have this argument after that opening title, after that opening little line. And I think it's in all three movies, and it works brilliantly. And this, they should have said the not too logical past or some bullshit like that. At least they would have been like, well, at least they admit it doesn't make sense.
There's a line in the first one where they're talking about Wolverine and about his aging, and Jean Grey says his age is virtually impossible to determine. Well, and that was great, you know. This guy, this hunky 30-year-old might be older than Professor X, but
and
now we know the whole thing.
He looked better than Professor X could ever imagine in X-Men, in you know, the CGI Professor Xavier, or digital Botox, as it was called. Yeah, and like, that's the other problem. Let's include Cyclops for no reason. You know, really? Do we need to explain where he got? I think it was one of those things that was sort of like read between the lines kind of things that you just assume, like, okay, he probably was a runaway kid and Xavier found him as a 10-year-old. No, he didn't find him as a 10-year-old. He found him when he was 18 in high school. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good God. You know?
Just blows my mind. But like I say, it was all the dullness and incompetence of those other bad Marvel movies, but with the cherry on the top being the atrocious special effects. And I just hated the movie. And this time, I am making a stand. I will not buy the DVD.
Well,
I will never watch this movie again. There was no incentive for me to. Absolutely none. I hated it. And as I have said to Jamie before in the past, the only reason I did see it, I wasn't going to see it. I wasn't excited about
it's
it. The only reason
guilt.
I saw it was because, you know, it is my duty to be on this podcast and to tell you folks, you know, what I thought of the movie. So it's Jamie's fault and Peter's fault.
Well,
and
I mean,
I lost 100 minutes of my life.
Well, that's true, but also it goes to that thing, you cannot bitch about a movie if you haven't seen it. There's just no toys around that. If you have not seen it, you cannot tell me that it's terrible. You do not fucking know. You know, just meh. I mean, again, like I'll repeat this again. You people are gonna be like, man, he must have hated that movie. I didn't hate it. It's definitely the weakest of all the X movies, but I think it's meh. It's like whatever. It's, you know, it's mediocre as shit, but it's not. I still don't think it's worthy of the ass fucking it's been getting compared to other movies. I think this movie's getting off. I think people are going after this movie more than they would other films. I don't know why. It might be because X-Men 3, people didn't like that much either, and that was the most successful one. And maybe they're like, all right, it's time for it's time for this franchise to get its comeuppance. You know, it's roasting, if you will.
I just simply think it's because it's not entertaining.
I'd like to think that, but there's always more. There's always more reason to this stuff, you know.
Oh well. In any case, a hell of a lot of people did see it this week.
Yeah.
In our prediction show, I said that Wolverine would make somewhere in the 50s. I was thinking of saying 55 million.
No way. Never going to do that. Yeah.
And I was completely wrong. And Jamie, you know, in his lovely gloating tone of voice, will take over from here.
There's nothing to gloat about. It's no big deal. It really isn't. I mean, like, there was no way this movie wasn't going to do at least 75, 80. I mean, my official prediction was 75, 80. I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I said this elsewhere bullshitting with other people that I could see it hit as high as 90, but there was no way it was hitting 100. That was never going to happen. That was not realistic. And it did 85. It actually – it's funny. The initial – this is one of the benefits, actually, of us doing the show later is the estimates had it at 88 million or 87. I always round up. So it had it at 87 million, and the actuals came in Sunday afternoon, and it was actually – or no, Monday afternoon, yesterday afternoon. And the actuals had it at a little over $85 million. And what's interesting is the fact that it actually made less money than X-Men 2 in its three-day weekend.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. You know, you just go like, hmm. Now, granted, $85 million is a shitload of money. That's great. Mm. But you go, man, this thing didn't out-earn a movie that came out six years ago. You know, and this is before we even adjust for inflation, which I don't really do that. I know some people like to use that argument all the time. Like, well, adjust for inflation, this movie made more. Well, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about simple dollars, not comparing ticket sales. Just flat out, what movie made more money, you know, in a certain amount of date. And this movie made less than X-Men 2 did in its three-day weekend. It was never going to match X-Men 3's opening weekend. That was never going to happen. And I knew it would at least make more than X-Men 1. So I'm not surprised by the numbers. But, man, is that going to plummet this coming weekend?
You know what I find very interesting about this?
Shoot.
It's hard to think of a movie in recent years that has been more affected by piracy than this one. We have rarely seen something on the scale of this, a movie actually being leaked onto the internet and being seen by hundreds of thousands of people a month before its actual release, and yet it still gets an opening weekend like this. Not to mention the money it's making overseas in my country.
I'm not surprised. It was always going to do that money. If there had never been a leak, it was always going to do that money. I do not – for the life of me, Fox is claiming they lost $20 million off the leak. That is fucking horseshit. I do not believe that for a second. I'm sorry.
Oh,
That was never going to happen. This
kind
press.
Of weakens any argument the MPAA can present to us.
This was
to
press.
Say that piracy is killing the movie industry because it clearly isn't.
It's not killing it, no. I mean, again, the same thing happened with Hulk. I mean, like, they released that thing. Ironically enough, movies with terrible word of mouth and reception, and Marvel films, no less, are, you know, leak a month before release, and yet they still have killer opening weekends. And, you know, The question becomes, how badly does Wolverine drop this weekend? That's the question. Because it's not going to be number one. It's going to be Trek. Granted, I don't think Trek is going to be some big dick opening weekend either. Trek's going to do a solid $50 million opening weekend. I could see it hit 60, but some people are saying 70. I'm like, no, it does not hit 70. Sorry. Trek will have great word of mouth. Trek will still make a lot of money, but it's not going to make no fucking $70 million this weekend.
No.
It's not going to happen. You know, the end. So.
Well, like I say, I just find it fascinating how a movie that's – you're talking about Hulk there. I mean, you've got to remember. I mean, even just a couple of years ago, most people didn't have, you know, the kind of big computers and the super fast internet connections where we could all, you know, download a lengthy movie. Now we practically all do, and there are all these sites available where you can find these movies, and, you know, all these people who replicate the file, so it spreads and spreads and spreads. A couple of years ago, even, that wasn't the case. So, I mean, this is really the first case where we've had a movie affected in that way and seen by so many people on that scale, and still, it made that amount of money. So, I mean, and what's frustrating to me, and we'll be talking about this on a separate podcast, folks, is how this is clearly shows how the X-Men franchise, even in the shit form it is right now as a film franchise, is still viable. I mean, this is a solo movie. It's not even a team movie. And still, people are seeing it.
Again,
it is the first movie of the summer, I know, and that has a lot to do with it.
Again, this is still on Jackman's shoulders, and people love Jackman as that character, so they went to go see it. I don't know. I just still, you know.
It just makes you wonder, because, I mean, the last trailer was shit. We both agree on that. You thought both trailers were shit.
That trailer was laughably bad. That was laughable. Him, like, with the helicopter, that wide shot of him jumping into the helicopter. It wasn't as ridiculous in the final film because, you know, that was the least of that film's problems. Deadpool. But, you know, still.
Oh, well, after we've spent enough time talking about that, I hope it dies next weekend and vanishes off the face of the earth. You know, after this week, I'll forget all about it, so I'll recover. Don't worry about me, folks. I'll be absolutely fine. Let's talk about the trailers.
Go ahead. You're the one who saw the trailers more than I did, so you've got the take. Yes. I don't. Go ahead.
We'll start with the joy shot. We got I assume the final full-length trailer for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Sorry, : Revenge of the Fallen.
AKA the highest grossing movie of this year.
Yep. I mean, if you doubted
No doubt about it before,
you take a look at this trailer and it pretty much confirms it. I mean, look, we're not, you know, gaping about the exciting new plot twists of the turning up. Sam can read signals and stuff, and he's got, I don't know what the hell is going on there. And I hope that they keep the college scenes to a bare minimum, because let's face it, these are not well written movies.
No.
So anytime they have to rely on the dialogue, especially quick, sparkly dialogue that bounces off the walls, it's not good news. So I hope they keep that to a bare minimum.
Especially if the Transformers are talking, like, you know, Optimus Prime and having to emote, you know. We must save the human.
Well, no, see, that's where you and I disagree, because that is the magic of Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime's voice. Anything sounds good coming out of him. When my heart bursts out of my chest, it's when he speaks in the trailer. Peter Cullen speaks, you pay attention.
I think that boils down to, like, childhood memories and shit, and, like, that was never a show for me as a kid, so I don't really have the same kind of emotional attachment to that new film franchise. I mean, that's the reason why I think some people were a lot less harsh towards the faults of the first movie than they should have been, because it's like, oh, well, no one wants to criticize their childhood, and that's basically what you would have been doing. You criticize that you had shitty tastes as a kid. And I will openly acknowledge that I had shitty tastes as a kid. Some people would argue I still do. But still, you know, I grew up watching G.I. Joe as a kid. I loved G.I. Joe, and yet I will tell you right now that the movie looks dumb, and the movie looks retarded, it just doesn't look like the disaster I thought it would be. But that still doesn't mean – I mean, I'm not biased when I say that in any way, shape, or form.
Well, let's back up a second, because I actually disagree with you on both points there. Number one, the reason why people perhaps – and you're right, people didn't criticize – they overlooked the faults of the first Transformers movie.
They badly looked past it. No one wanted to call
it – But I think the reason why –
Yeah,
I think the reason why was simply that was a really, really disappointing summer. A summer full of movies which didn't deliver on what they promised. You know, we were promised Spider-Man 3, a comic book movie with two villains, two awesome villains, and what we instead got was, you know, the breakup. Yeah. We were promised Pirates 3, Pirates and Ninjas, Chow Yun-Fat as a ninja pirate, and, you know, awesome final battle, and instead we got, you know, that at the very end, and
I already knew Pirates 3.
Well, yeah, you did, but yeah.
I did, I mean, I was
you're
just like...
You're a clairvoyant.
No, I'm a clairvoyant, because, like, the same thing, like, 2 was shit, and 3 was gonna be shit by default. It's like, it was just gonna happen, and it was. So it was like, people sort of jumping on the fuck Pirates bandwagon with 3, and I was like, I've been on the bandwagon for a year. You know, like, since that last shitty movie that made $1 billion. I mean, sorry. Go ahead.
But still, so we got that. And then we got, you know, Fantastic Four 2, where we were promised Galactus and we got a cloud. So finally, here comes Transformers.
And we're lied to.
And would you believe Transformers actually had robots in it that fight each other a lot and smash through buildings? Exactly what people wanted to see. So they went home happy. It's as simple as that. And this one's just going to be, you know, maybe... If this summer is of higher quality, and, you know, apart from Star Trek, I really can't tell right now, but if it is of higher quality, then maybe people will be more open to the faults this time. But there's no doubt this thing's going to be entertaining. It might be too entertaining. I told you that the first Transformers movie, by the time the end of the movie hit, I was exhausted. There was too much action.
I didn't know what they were
doing. Too much for me.
They were
exactly,
saying,
that's true.
You gotta run to a top of a building for some reason because we say so. That's,
yeah,
I mean, I
agree.
Okay, you know, I just didn't understand that. But yeah, I mean, I will say
so
about
hopefully
that.
Hopefully, this movie will be a little bit clearer, but somehow,
to be fair, we were talking about those other shitty movies that summer. I mean, you know, they didn't deliver. How should I put this? They delivered on what they promised. They never promised anything other than giant robots beat the shit out of each other for close to 3 hours, and that's what it was. So I hated the movie, but they didn't lie to me. You know, they told me that's what it was going to be, and it was. So I can't be mad at them for being honest. You know what I mean? So
now let me put this question to you, Jamie Williams: if you were not a correspondent, a mild-mannered reporter for Think McFly Think. If you were just a regular Joe-going, movie-going guy, would you be seeing – and you hate Transformers 1, would you still be seeing Transformers 2?
Probably not. As I said a second ago, no, would not be.
Interesting.
I wouldn't be.
Okay.
It's more the same shit. I mean, I've seen worse. That's why, like, when I did, like, my own worst movies 2007 list, like, Transformers was not on it. Because it's like, well, it's not the worst movie of the year. It's not even in my top 10 because, like, there are worse movies that year. But this was just, like, it was – you know, it was crap. It was just cliched crap, and I really hope K&O are able to look past it and, you know, move ahead with Star Trek. And to be fair, I mean, they're working under Abrams, and they also wrote MI3 for Abrams, and I thought MI3 was great, so I have a little bit more faith in that particular film than I would say another Michael Bay movie. But again, it's kind of similar to what I said about I've said in the past about the Pirates films, where the first one made $650 million, was insanely popular, so they – and yet people still said it's too long. Well, they didn't listen to anybody. They said, you know what? This movie made close to $700 million, so fuck you. We're going to keep doing what we want to do because you paid close to $700 million worth of movie tickets. So, you know, and the same thing with Transformers. They're going to just do – it's going to be more of the same because they don't they're not being forced to make a change, if that makes any sense. Like with Spider-Man 4, like I realized – with Spider-Man 4, I mean, with 3, everyone acknowledged how terrible it was, and yet it still made $900 million. And it becomes a question of, are they going to acknowledge that? Compared to the next Superman movie, which made – the last one made $400 million, and yet, you know, they're going to have to listen to people, and they've acknowledged that, yeah, we're listening to people. They're taking the notes from the public because they can't afford not to, if that makes any sense. So
– of course it does, but, you know, you're dealing with Michael Bay here, and, you know, what he says goes right now. He's – You know, he's never given a shit what other people think. He just does what he thinks.
And he delivers
awesome.
The goods. Again, he plays to his strengths. He knows that his best asset is making shit blow up and showing hot chicks even hotter than they already are. There's no toys around that. He plays to that. I have no issue with a guy who does that. I mean, because again, he's not except for Pearl Harbor and the ending to Armageddon, you know, that's all he's been doing, you know. He's not trying to pretend to be a better filmmaker than that. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And when I refer to Armageddon, I mean the fact that the whole movie was trying to put it in your face. It's a popcorn movie. We have no brain. We don't make any sense. We're going to be fun. Don't take us too seriously. And then the last 10 minutes, they say, no. We're a serious drama. We're sad. You should cry when Bruce Willis sacrifices himself. At the
end. You know, it's funny. When I'm watching the trailer for Transformers 2, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit of a Stargate vibe from it when they're at the pyramids. We're going to find out that the Autobots built the pyramids or something.
Really? I never thought about that. I haven't seen Stargate.
Yeah, I have not
seen Stargate in years, my friend. This is back when people used to love Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich. Not anymore, but they used to, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Happy days. Oh, well, let's move on to G.I. Joe.
Yo, Joe.
You first.
France has a problem. Don't they always have a problem? Or is that how the – it was a great line. It's funny that that's the line everyone talks about from that trailer. It's like it's not – I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily quotable, but it's like it's a good line, you know. It's kind of it. I enjoyed it. You know, again, it's going to be a stupid movie, but they're not – the vibe I'm getting from this movie is they're not trying to – I don't know. I mean, it looks fun. It confirms that it looks very stupid, but – this is from Steven Sommers, after all. The guy who made Van Helsing. What are we going to expect other than that?
Well, I wasn't expecting anything, but somehow this trailer managed to defy even those expectations. I just think this thing looks abominable.
And they have
really, really bad.
They have, like,
and
super
look, I don't,
you know,
I don't judge a movie by its trailer anymore. I don't do that. I judge the trailer as a piece of entertainment that is designed to get me excited about the movie. I don't judge lines of dialogue and trailer. I don't judge performances. I don't do that. What I judge is the trailer and whether it works. This trailer doesn't work. It shows us nothing we haven't seen before in other movies and done better. There's a line at the end where the Baroness says something like, this is only the beginning or something, which is a direct rip-off of the Star Trek trailer when Eric Banner says that exact same thing at the very end. So they're not even being original from a trailer which was released just a couple of months ago. It just looks juvenile. That's the thing. This is why I think G.I. Joe is going to be the big bomb of the summer, because it looks too juvenile. Nobody above the age of 12 is going to see this movie, and if they do want to see it, they won't see it because they'll be too embarrassed to go and see it. It's the same thing with Speed Racer.
They'll be mentally retarded. That's what you're basically saying. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
That's what I'm trying not to say.
You're trying not to say. It's like, I'll let Jamie say it because he'll say anything because he's an idiot. You know, I'll get around it, you know.
But given my record
us talking about, like, what to do with, like, rapists and child molesters. Like, I think they should somehow find a way to stop them from doing what they're doing and, like, cut to me screaming, they should just cut the dicks off, you know.
Jeez.
I mean,
pretty much all.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like, all right, good night, folks.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
How do I top that?
But that's all I've got to say about G.I. Joe. I mean, this was the first trailer. We've been waiting a long time for this, this is what they showed us.
I forgot about that. I just assumed we'd already gotten one. We have not.
No, we got the Super Bowl spot, but that was all.
Wow. Damn it, good call. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign? Because it's like August is going to be here like that. You know, it's weird
I imagine we'll get another trailer in front of Transformers, but, you know, another popular Hasbro brand. But I don't think it's going to improve on what we've seen.
Well, what will be the next, like, toy line summer blockbuster tentpole? I mean, you know, we've had Transformers and G.I. Joe. I mean, what's next? My Little Ponies, you know?
Well, you know, I've got to be honest, like I've said before, I've given up on He-Man. I've given up on the He-Man movie. I don't think it's going to happen. But you love doing that.
I do. I love doing that. I will do any excuse to do it. Go ahead.
But even though it is ripped off from several other sources, I do think Thundercats could make an awesome movie. But no one's talking about it right now.
That was another one I ever watched. So that was one you watched as a child? Because I didn't watch that
oh,
one.
Oh, yes.
Really?
It was huge in the UK in its time.
Wow, I didn't know that. Huh, it's interesting. I just figured that you used to watch Bond movies and shit, and that was kind of it. Like, I've got a Bond movie. It's got you get everything in the Bond movies, and you look at the old school ones, and you really do. You get a lot of shit in those movies. Bang for your buck.
And then you Americans made James Bond Jr., and we said, what the fuck is this?
That was bad, actually. That was bad. I used to, ironically enough, you mentioned that. I used to be called Jamie Bond, you know, because of that. For some reason, I don't know how that calculated. But yeah, and yet he's called James Bond Jr., and yet he's his nephew. Like, you
yes.
know, you know that, like, he has got – James Bond has slept with so many women in the past, whatever iteration he was, is that, you know, he's got a couple of kids out there. Most of them probably don't know he's their dad. You know, couldn't you just play off that?
Well, the thing that always confused me was, one, the one thing we want to see in that show is for actual James Bond to show up. Just for a cameo one time, but that never happened. And two, he was fighting Dr. No, Goldfinger, and Jaws.
That's right.
And two of those guys were dead, and it thoroughly confused me.
Well, that's... Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, the thing about... I was thinking about this recently, that you bring it up about, like, Star Trek 3, and Kirk's like, oh, my only son is dead. And it's like, motherfucker, you probably got, like, 8 other kids. One of them's probably green that you don't know about, but you're going to be, like, more than this little motherfucker? Like, seriously? You know? I'm just asking, you know?
It's true. And we never found out how he told, you know...
Carol?
Carol.
We don't even know what happened to Carol. It's just like, she's gone. Where's Carol?
And all of a sudden, you know, in Star Trek 4, he's trying to get it on with the marine No, she's not a biologist. She's a sanitaliologist or something. It's a funny word.
It's some weird... Yeah, and yet he can't keep his dick in his pants long enough to be like, oh, that's right, my son's dead. You know? I mean, good God, man. I mean, of course, there's the idea that Spock knocked up Savick. That was... I don't know if that's... No, it's not in the movie. They cut that out. They had the idea... Oh, you don't think it happened? You're just like, no, they did not have sex. That's it. You know?
If it's not on screen, it didn't happen.
It's not necessarily true, man. She actually has a bump, if you notice that, actually. It's in the movie.
Oh, well, we'll have more...
She does. Actually,
we'll talk
she
about that
no,
next
she,
week.
No, she doesn't. I was lying. I was just like, I want to be like, really? She does? No. It is funny the way that character just completely disappears. Like, you think of Star Trek... I've always thought of this, like, you know, you think of, like, what Ben... those guys did with Star Trek 2, and they were clearly trying to set up a next generation, for lack of a better term, with David Marcus and Savick. Like, not in the sense that they're going to take over for Kirk and them. It's still going to be about Kirk and the old crew, but they're clearly setting shit up to, like, focus on David and Savick and shit. And by the third movie, they're gone. You know, that entire plot there was obliterated once Nick Meyer left. I mean, I always wonder whose idea that was. Was that Meyer's idea? Because it would kind of make sense, being that he didn't direct the third one. He very wisely said, I'm staying out of this shit. I'm not going to bring back Spock after I just told people he's dead.
Well, they lost Kirstie Alley.
Well, they lost Kirstie Alley, but they replaced her with Robin Curtis. So, I mean, like, no one seemed to notice.
Yeah, but the chemistry wasn't there.
That's true, and I don't think Robin Curtis did a bad job. I thought she was a good Savick, but it's like, it was really, like, visually, I can imagine, like, okay, these two fuck. Like, you look at him, and the actor, whatever his name is, David Marcus, and then Kirstie Alley, before she was fat, as Savick. Like, you can imagine those two have hooked up a couple of times, and are continuing to do so. But you look at him and Robin Curtis, and you go, no, I don't believe that for a second. Like, they might have done in the past, but they're clearly, like, broken up, and they don't, you know, they don't talk anymore.
If you let those two and Nick Meyer loose on the Genesis planet, I dread to think what they'd get up to.
Yeah, I mean, God bless Nick Meyer. Like, that's what that franchise needed more than anything else right now. It needs another Nick Meyer. And I'm not literally saying let Nick Meyer reboot the franchise, because that's a terrible idea. No offense, sir. But, you know, it's like someone who does not hold canon as just – I mean, case in point, the Chekhov shit with Wrath of Khan. It's like he did not – like, oh, I got to put someone else in there to make it all make sense. He's like, you know what? No one will know. It's not a big deal. Fuck it. You know, and it's not a big deal. You know, it's I don't think so.
No. That's,
maybe I'm wrong on that, you know.
Well, no one can do that, you know, that bitchy, high-pitched scream like, ah, I've got a bug in my ear like Walter Koenig can.
Yeah.
Ah, I can, ah.
And then with the bad Russian accent, no less, you know.
Made put creatures in our bodies. Made us tell lies.
Ooh, that's – I can't believe you – I'm going to have to do my Spock impression now. No, I'm not going to do a Spock impression. But, you know, it's funny because as a kid, I used to think that, like, you know, they really spoke that way as a child. Being an idiot child and now an idiot. Yeah. Being an idiot adult and then an idiot child, you know, I just assume, like, he's really Russian, you know? I mean, he's Russian in the movies. He must be Russian in real life. And the same thing with Scotty. I mean, it's worse with Scotty because the first time I saw him with – who was the name? Jimmy Doohan? Yeah, thank you. I couldn't believe he wasn't Scottish. I was like, he's not? You know, at least with Simon Pegg, we know there's a little bit of an accent there. Like, you know, I was never opposed to casting Simon Pegg as Scotty because I was like, oh, well, they clearly want Scotty to be funny in this movie. Because, I mean, they could have easily – I mean, let's be fair here. If they wanted to cast someone who looked a little bit more like Jimmy Doohan, they could have just cast Nick Frost instead.
No, he doesn't. You know as well as I do, in the timeline, Scotty doesn't get fat until the movies, until much later on.
You know the way this works out, though. They say, like, because they made one major alteration in the timeline, it's like everything else changes. All of a sudden, the Enterprise is an iPod store and shit. So, and Scotty's fat sooner, you know.
Well, still, give him till a sequel to put on weight. He's got to grow into that. That's part of his character development.
So Simon Peck will have a reason to get fat now?
You know what? I would not be surprised if he did it in the sequel. If he went fat,
Someone will ask him that before they start shooting. They'll be like, "All right, so does that mean you're gonna get fat in the sequel?" You know, someone will ask that. Maybe it'll be me, and I'd prefer it be me, just so I can say, "Hey, I met Simon Pegg."
Yeah.
Still, I met Sean, and I met what's his character's name in Hot Fuzz? I don't remember.
Nicholas Angel.
I met Detective Nicholas Angel. You know.
Can you tell we're excited about Star Trek this week, folks?
Exactly. We spent like fucking an hour bitching about Wolverine, and now we're going to spend another hour. It's actually not been an hour. Talking about, you know.
I just want to clarify for the record. I am not going into this movie. First of all, I'm not going into this movie knowing everything. I've stayed pretty spoiler-free, so I don't know a lot of all this time
travel
stuff that's going to happen. I really don't, and I don't want to know. I want to find out in the movie and see if I understand what the hell's going on. And also, I am fully prepared the fact that I may not gushingly adore this movie. It's got 4 stars in Empire, 4 stars in total, which means it's not perfect. It's not it's probably not quite Casino Royale Batman Begins. It's probably got 1 or 2 little things I won't like. That's what I'm expecting. I am not going in prepared to adore it, because that would be a mistake. So, you know, we'll see. I'm excited, but I can't help but be excited.
That's the problem of heightened expectations. You know, someone tells you, like, you're going to see the best movie of all time, then, you know, and then you pretty much go into that with all these high expectations, and then you don't see the best movie of all time, you know.
If you read Ain't It Cool News right now and their reviews for this film, you'd think it was the best sci-fi film of the next 10 years.
Yeah, but isn't that, like, every major temple that comes out, Ain't It Cool News does that. I mean, I don't mean in disrespect to Harry Knowles, who I'm a big fan of, and I like Ain't It Cool News, great site, but, you know, it's like, that's shit we've heard before from them. Big deal. Like, I know, now it's like popular to shit on Wolverine, so he's gonna shit on Wolverine. It's like, whatever. You know.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, we'll have more on Star Trek.
Yes, next
much,
week.
Much more next week.
Technically this week.
Oh yes, this week. Sorry,
this week. So I—that's all I got on my end, man. I don't know anything else you got. You know, we could keep talking.
Not for this show.
You know, talking about how, like, Kirk gets laid and shit, but I don't know if that's how we can keep going on about that.
No, I'm kind of tired.
Okay.
And it's not real. I really have trouble sleeping if I talk about, you know, Kirk.
Important. Like, you'll be at work and you'll be just like, Kirk fucked him. Green check, you know, and then
yep.
People look at you funny and like, who's Kirk and why is he green? And then
So did Savick and David really fuck?
I think,
man.
I think they did. I could be wrong on this. Now,
I'm not asking, I'm saying that's what I'd be thinking.
Oh, okay.
At work today.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because it's pretty much there. I mean, like, they set it up for them to be, like, you know, lovers in the next movie and shit, so. Still.
See, that's what would have happened in Nick Meyer's version. Christopher Lloyd's crazy Klingon would have burst in on them just as they were, you know, mid-coitus.
Shit. Yeah, Christopher Lloyd is a very underrated villain in that movie.
He's the best.
He does not get enough. Because, I mean, it's so weird because then you realize, like, a year later, literally the next summer, he was, like, cemented in the minds of audiences forever as Doc Brown.
Great Scott!
Yeah, I know. And who'd have thought? Two summers in a row, he's doing shit like this. No one would have thought. But that's just, you know.
Yep.
The way things are. See, I'm trying to keep going on other shit before Phil can leave. See, I don't want him to go. Don't leave. No. But,
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to sleep.
Yep.
All right. Well, if that's it, folks, thanks for listening. Sorry about the delay, but, again, you know, Mother Nature can be a bitch. So what can we say? But hey, we did one right now. We haven't had any problems yet. .. Wrap it up, Phil.
Good night, everybody. Hope you all enjoy Star Trek. We'll have the definitive word on it this weekend.